All right, just
a little bit less of stuff to talk about. One thing that I wanted to talk about last time that I forgot to say, that I always like to get included in there. Remember, we talked a little bit about drugs last time, and the topic of don't covet a felony buzz was the district attorney's advice. Here's some dealer advice. So the opposite point of view I wanted to present as well. So a drug dealer that I encountered at one point, his advice was buy as much as you can all at once. Get together with your friends, pool your money, buy as much as you can all at once. Buy a big supply for several reasons. One, you'll probably get a better price if you buy some. But two, you'll also be running fewer risks because every time you buy, you're running a risk of getting caught and arrested. And so the fewer times you purchase, the safer you might be. But then he also said, and then when you have this new purchase, you got this new drug that you bought and you're all going to try it for the first time, you use something you saved back from last time and you let your friends try the new stuff, because if it's going to kill somebody, you'd rather have it kill your best friend than kill you. And that's fucking cold. But there's something reasonable about it, right? There's something about that does make some sense. He's saying, look, even as a dealer, I don't necessarily know what's in it. I mean, he was talking about cocaine in particular, but, you know, he cuts it down the street, but he doesn't know what it came cut with already. You never know for sure what's in there. Even if you're not worried about that, just like we talked about alcohol, you can practice, right? You go back and you buy the same kind of beer, it's going to be the same. But, sort of famously, you go back to your dealer and say, hey, I want more of that. They're like, well, I have this other thing. So if you've got a consistent supply, then you can sort of practice. You can figure it out. You can learn to be safe. You can know what it does. And even with moderate, he's talking about cocaine, but even with pot, like you go back, different strains, different versions do different things. So, you know, there's with pot, I don't know if you guys know any of this sort of stuff or not. Maybe I'm preaching to the choir. Maybe I'm at all, I don't know. But like some things you get a head high, some things you get a body high, some things are more maybe make you feel more excited, some things maybe make you feel more peaceful. There's a lot of different kinds of things out there. And you want to know what you're doing. You want to know what you're gonna get. So the dealer advice, buy as much as you can all at once so you're safer. The district attorney advice, don't have more than a misdemeanor quantity at a time, stay on the small side of things. With this kind of thing, if it's illegal especially, there's multiple perspectives, and the advice might not all agree with each other. That seems reasonable enough. But I want to make sure to present you with both sides and give you as much evidence as you can. If you're not going to take this advice, maybe that advice is better. So, anyway, I always like to say that part, and I forgot to, so now I have. Okay, so, extra stuff. My cleverly titled last PowerPoint, extra stuff. Stuff that didn't fit in or that I didn't wind up saying somewhere else. Some of which I think I actually did, so maybe we'll not have to talk about it. But next week, right? So we're done with classes this week. This is the last time we'll actually meet as a regular class. Next week we have our final, and that's all we have to do next week. When's our final?
Monday.
What time? 3:00. So I'll be here still at 2:30, but if somebody else is in here, we can't come in. So, but 3:00. So it's scheduled for 2 hours. If you show up a little late, that's fine. I'll still be here. Instructors don't have to have office hours during finals week. I won't be here except when I need to be here. I'll be here a lot on Tuesday because I have a final in the morning and a final in the afternoon on Tuesday. But for most of your instructors, if you need to get a hold of them, you're going to be better off emailing or texting or calling instead of just showing up at their office next week. Grades will go into Workday as soon as your instructors enter them into Workday. I'll probably do that Wednesday, because what I'm going to probably do, since our test is fairly late, you don't want me to grade right after the test. You know, you don't want me to grade at 5:00, because I'll be hungry, and I'd rather wait until I'm happy. So I'll probably grade all the Monday, Tuesday classes at the same time and do that on Wednesday, and then put the grades in on Wednesday. That's my prediction. As soon as the grades get put in by your instructor, then they go into Workday, when I report your final grade. But all I report to Workday is your final class grade. I don't report anything else. It doesn't interface with the Canvas grade book at all. It's just a letter grade that goes in. It goes live on your transcript as soon as I put it in there. Your instructors are required to put grades in by the Monday after finals week. So your grades ought to all be in there Monday afternoon or Tuesday, not this coming up next week, but the week after that. If you need to send your transcripts anywhere, anybody need to do that going on to FSU this semester? So you can already order your transcripts. The way to do that, just go onto the main TCC website and type the word transcripts in the search box. There's a page that gives you step-by-step directions. So just look for the word transcripts and we'll show you how to do it. We use an online third-party service for that, so you have to sign up. You probably have to pay something. I'm not sure exactly how much. $5 or something. You can already order your transcripts now, and then there's a box on there to click to say, hold until my grades are reported. So you don't have to wait till your grades come out to order them. So whenever you feel like it, you can do that. They report letter grades, just the letter, and I'm not sure how the other schools are going to evaluate that. I know that FSU recalculates the grade points the way they decide to do it. I've heard conflicting reports about exactly what they're going to count, exactly how they're going to count it, but they're going to count it better rather than worse. Like they're not going to mark a B as a B minus. They're going to mark it as a B. So that's at least as much as I'm sure of. Remember, you need a C to pass a gen ed class. This is a gen ed class. They need a C to pass this class. So make sure you get a C. And I keep two different grade books. I have a grade book that I keep in Canvas, and then I also have a grade book that I keep on a spreadsheet for myself. And what I'm going to do as soon as I get done with all the actual grading is I'm going to go through and compare them and make sure that they match. And if they don't match, I'll give you whichever one's better. If I'm not sure, if I've got a mistake somewhere, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt and assume that I made the mistake against you instead of for you. So if the Canvas grade says you got a 76 and my grade book says you got a 77, I'll give you the 77. And vice versa, if Canvas says it's higher, then I'll give you the higher one. So it won't be any lower than what Canvas says, in other words. But it might be, I might nudge it up because I might have made a mistake here or there. If you see a mistake in the grade book, make sure to let me know and correct it so that I can get it in there. The last day to turn anything in, apart from the exam, is today. So get everything turned in by 11:59 p.m. tonight. And I will grade it as soon as I can. I do have some plans tomorrow, so I'm not going to sure exactly what time I'll get everything graded. I do promise you I'm not going to stay up till like 1:30 grading tonight. I'm not going to sit there waiting at 11:59 and start grading a bunch of shit at that point. I'll grade everything I can before I go home today, but I probably won't check back in. I might, but I probably won't check back in and grade more stuff tonight. So sometime tomorrow I'll get it all graded. And again, you can go into Canvas and look and see how much difference it will make with your final exam. The final exam in this class isn't really worth very much. Different classes are different ways, different instructors are different. Some instructors might require you to take the final exam even if you don't need it, so double check your syllabus for all your other classes. But for this class, if a zero on the final still leaves you with an A, then you don't really have to take it. It's just more points. So if you don't need those points, you don't need them. So you can look and see what you need to do. And also, you can look and see how many extra credits do I have to do to make up for the final if I decide I'm just going to blow it off, if you want. It doesn't affect me any. All right, any questions about any of that? How the class works, what to do next, all of that sort of stuff? You good? Good with all the rest of your other classes too? Good with the transfer process if you're doing it? Okay, cool. Register to vote and actually vote. It matters more if you're registered and if you vote than it does who you vote for or what you vote for. The way the politics works in this country, politicians pay attention to the issues of voters, and they don't give a shit about you if you don't vote. If you're not likely to vote, they don't care much about the issues that matter to you. If you are likely to vote, they care more about pandering to you. They will try to pay attention to the issues that matter to the people who actually vote. If you know anything about Florida, you know that the Villages is very politically powerful because almost everybody who lives in the Villages votes. So the politicians go there, listen to people, try to do what the people want to try to get elected by those people. Who lives in the Villages? Old white people, old rich white people. So our politics tends to favor old rich white people because that's who votes.
if a whole lot of other people are registered and actually do vote, politicians will pay more attention to those concerns, those issues, the things that matter. Right now, mostly young people don't vote, so politicians don't care much about what young people want. The more people vote, the more it matters. And even if your vote doesn't count in that election, that is, even if you're voting for things that you have no chance to win, it influences how they pay attention, what they worry about, what issues matter to them, which races they invest their money and effort in, which areas they care about. So register to vote and actually vote, even in the not important elections, because they're not going to look at whether you voted for president last time, because you couldn't. They're going to look at whether you voted for, like, school board, and whether you voted for all the other non-important stuff, or, you know, that's important too. But they're going to pay attention to what they think is likely to happen. So the more you vote, the more likely they care about what you say. So that's part of why I've been pushing, trying to get you to vote. All right, another random off-topic thing. Plan for delays. Everything is hard. Everything takes forever. Everything takes longer than you think it would. I don't know if you've ever heard of Hofstadler's Law. Hofstadler's Law says everything takes twice as long as you think it will, even when you account for Hofstadler's Law. So it's hard. I haven't seen Canvas break very often. I haven't seen it crash or collapse very much. But you know it's going to be like right before you have to turn in that final exam. I mean, like, that's the way shit goes, right? Murphy's Law plays into this as well. Give yourself extra time. Give yourself a break as well. Things are often a lot harder than you expect them to be. And the more stressed out and the more hurried you get, the harder it is to account for that and the easier it is for it to be a problem. Scott Hamilton in his college textbook says, college is where you learn to make choices. And sometimes you learn by making the wrong choices, and you learn about what you should do by not doing it right necessarily every time. Mistakes are good. We only learn by making mistakes. That's the only way you actually figure out what really works and what really doesn't. I know I've said this before. I gave you the example of golf before, but if you get it right and you succeed, you don't know why. You don't really understand how the whole process works and what all factors matter if it was right the first time, if it worked out. You don't know which factors you were in charge of. You don't know which factors were actually responsible for the success. This has got two parts to it. One part is that we tend to think that people who are successful must do things in the right way. They might just get lucky. So just because somebody has been successful doesn't make them necessarily an expert. But also, the flip side is, I don't know if any of you have done any like psychology research or are interested in psychology, but there's a lot of studies that show that we can train chickens and pigeons and other sorts of animals, lab subjects, to be superstitious. So if you've got a chicken in a cage and you just randomly feed it at random intervals, so no actual connection to its behavior at all, it's totally random, and the chicken is over in this corner and the food drops, it's like, ooh, hey, okay, great, food. And then the next time it's over in this corner and the food drops again, it's like, oh, hey, maybe if I go over to this corner, I'll get food. And they start to think that they have control over it, and they start to develop behaviors based on this objectively random thing that is not related to their behavior. But we want to ascribe causality to the world. We want to feel like we are in charge, and our responsible decisions are why things turn out the way they do. And they may not. This is why science is not about confirmation. It's about falsification. Science is set up to show things went wrong and how the theory doesn't work, rather than just to see that it does work. You can make guesses that come out right. That's still just guessing. If you predict it incorrectly, then you know there's something wrong with your predictions, and then you have the chance to fix it and improve it and make it better. So it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to do stuff wrong. In fact, it's better to at least sometimes make mistakes, because that's the only way you know whether you actually understand what's going on or not. Jillian Michaels says, a bad day for your ego is a great day for your soul. When we make a mistake, when things go against our will or our preference or things don't work out for us, that's when we learn who we are. That's how we recover and develop and grow. And that's good for you. It's not happy. It's not pleasant, but it's good for you. All right. Another completely unrelated topic. Guns.
Anybody got guns? Anybody? Firearm owner?
Yeah, so here's advice from a judge I know. Keep your weapon permit right by your ID. So if a cop ever asks you for your ID, you hand him the ID and the weapon permit right at the same time. Hand them both to them right then. Because then they're least likely to be worried or upset. So if you give them your ID and you say, oh, by the way, officer, I have a gun, they think that's a threat and they get upset. If you don't mention that you have a gun and they find it, then they get upset because why didn't you mention it? And then they get, you know, you don't want the cops to get nervous or upset. If you hand them the ID and hand them the permit at the same time, then they're like, oh, this person might have a weapon. Thank you for handing the permit. I understand that you're a responsible owner. They're soothed, and that's better for you. Also, if you have weapons, keep them secured. Keep them inaccessible to people who shouldn't be accessing them. If you look in the police blotters, you can go and look in, at like the police reports for Tallahassee. Almost every day, there are guns stolen from unlocked cars here in Tallahassee. People just leave their guns uncontrolled, and they leave their cars unlocked, and people go through unlocked cars and take shit, and guns get taken a lot. That's how most of the illegally obtained guns get obtained here in Tallahassee. So keep your guns locked up, or at least keep them where you know where they're at, and other people won't find them real easy. And that's also how little kids get their hands on guns. Guns just laying around where they shouldn't be. Be careful. You don't want that on your conscience. You don't want a little kid to have your gun and then something go wrong. Okay. Did we talk about this? Nutritious people versus energy vampires? I feel like we did. Yeah. Okay. So suppose somebody's just an asshole. How can you make them better? Jerk, stop being a jerk. Any advice? Any suggestions? Yeah.
Identify how they're being a jerk to them.
So point it out to them, talk to them, have a discussion with them about it. Try to, I think generally the advice is don't be accusatory, you're being an asshole, but what you did made me feel bad and here's why. So own the feeling instead of pushing the blame. I've been told that tends to work better. I don't know how to do it very well, but perhaps that works better. What else? Anything else you got? Yeah.
Patient.
Be patient with them.
I know that's very general, but you gotta be a patient person to deal with assholes.
So if you're too patient or too nice about it, then they just keep doing it, and you're just a doormat. Right? And they think, well, this works great. I'm going to just keep doing it. So they don't learn. That's not very good. But if you're an asshole right back, then they're like, well, everybody's like this, and it's all a fight, and we have to, you know, come. And the only way I can win is to be even more like this. And they don't learn either.
Well, part of the being patient thing is, I guess, just take genuine time and effort to understand, like, what they're doing. A lot of assholes are being assholes because they feel invalidated about something.
Yeah. That's definitely true. So again, with what you were saying, try to have a conversation about what's going on instead of just accusing the behavior, right? That might help. But like, suppose you've seen people at traffic lights, right? Who like the light changes and they cut people off and they just drive like total assholes, right? If you cut them off back in return, they're just like, well, that's just how everybody drives and the only way. But if you let them go, then they just think it wins. So they. Sometimes you can't interact with them, and they're still being like that. So I don't really have a good answer to this. I don't have some secret formula for fixing other people. All I can say is, yeah, what you said I hope helps, but also try not to be an asshole yourself. I know I'm an asshole some of the time. Of course it's true. I do jerky things. Try not to. Try to notice when people react, how they react, and try to figure out why, and if maybe you could do something different so that they don't continue to react like that. Try your best to not be a jerk if you can avoid it. Driving in particular, what's the goal? What do you want to achieve when you're driving? Get from one place to the other safely and fairly quickly, right? Yeah, it's not beat the other guy. It's all of us get where we're going and nobody get hurt, right?
I hope maybe that if everybody thought that way, it would be more likely that it would work. Okay. This is a stray little bit. It's not a whole coherent lecture today. How many of you are going to live where you're living right now for the rest of your life? Anybody? To live. How do you successfully find a new place to live that's going to be good? How many of you live in a place that's bad and you don't want to continue to live there until you, it's as long as you can get out and walk? Yeah. What went wrong?
It took too long to look at apartments, so I got stuck in New York.
Okay, so here in Tallahassee, apartments that are relatively affordable and relatively convenient for college students rent out pretty quick. So figure out when that's going to be and try to do it before that. When do places start renting up for fall next year? Anybody have an answer to that? When did you start looking? Already started?
Yeah.
A lot of places are already full.
A lot of places are already full. So, yeah, you got to, if you're coming from out of town, you think, well, it's June, it's plenty of time. No. So if you're going to start looking, you got to start looking soon. What should you look for? What are you paying attention to? How do you figure out if the place is going to be any good or not? Reviews online.
You could go there, see like what kind of things you want in an apartment, like what you have now, and then what you like about where you live now, and then what like you would like.
How many people figured out the place that they live by online reviews and looking at the websites and not actually physically going there? What? Oh, that's a pleasant surprise. Often that happens, especially with people who aren't from town, right? If you're in, you know, New York State and you have to get a place here, you may not be able to fly down just to look at apartments. Go there, and ideally don't just go to the tour that they take you on. Like, go there other times, other days. Because if you go there for, like, the tour that the real estate agent takes you on or that the leasing agent takes you on, and they show you the demo, any of you go see, like, the demo apartment in the apartment complex? Is yours like that? Not much. Maybe sometimes, but maybe sometimes not, right? So try to see the actual place instead of just their model or some other similar one. Try, if you can, see the actual place. Talk to actual people instead of just the online reviews, if you can. The online reviews, if there's not very many and they're all good, that's a bad sign, right? Because it probably means they did it themselves, or they just paid some people to do it. But if there's a lot of them, then you can probably trust them. And if they're not so good, even if they're just, like, okay, that's probably reliable. Anything else? Try to go there the times of day or the times of the week that you care about. Like, if you want it to be quiet during the weekend, right behind the strip is probably not going to be the best place to be. Probably not going to be the best place to be. But if you want it to be vibrant and happening, then those might be better for you. So, anything else? Any other advice you guys have about finding a place to live? How about any of you have a place that you live now that you would say, God, don't live there? This is just... It's just shitty. There's lots of shitty.
It's just a shitty college apartment.
Yeah, and so not especially awful.
Yeah, it's not like god awful, but it's awful.
Well, that's pretty good, actually. I mean, yeah, it's, as long as you can survive it, it's probably all right. All right, how about the actual physical moving? Any of you ever rent a moving van or use a moving van like a Ryder U-Haul kind of thing? Any advice about that?
About it, like prices.
The process, anything. Would you do it again?
Yeah, I would do it.
Good move.
It's pretty cheap. I mean, if you're moving, you don't really have that much like space to move stuff with. Like, my car isn't really.
Yeah, it's hard to move a couch in a car.
Yeah.
Usually. I mean, maybe a pickup, but still.
U-Haul is kind of just helpful in the process of it.
Right.
And I mean, we've got one where we could drop it off here, but we don't have to drive it back.
From a long way away to here.
Well, it's not really long, Jacksonville.
Still, that's, you know, it's not real convenient to drive it back.
Yeah.
So a one-way rental is nice. How big was your van?
We wanted a 10, but we got a 15 because
that's
all I had.
They're like, well, I know we said we'd have a 10, but we're going to upgrade you to a 15 at the same price.
Well,
like,
not even that.
Not even that?
It wasn't the same price, but they just ran out of 10 footers.
Were you reserving it in advance and they didn't have it when you got there, or did you just wait too long and they didn't have it anymore?
Well, I mean, like, yeah, we have 10 footers. I was like, all right, that's cool. So then I came the same day.
Yeah, so it's way easier to drive a 10-foot truck than a 15-foot truck. So if you can, try to avoid getting too much rental car. It's pretty common when you go to rent a car, like at an airport. They're like, I rent the super mini cheapest one you have. And they're like, we'll give you this SUV instead. They often wind up running out of the cheaper one, the smaller one, at any kind of a rental vehicle situation. I did wind up renting a van one point, and they instead of the 12-footer, they gave me an 18-footer, which is like a CDL requiring diesel.
Yeah.
You have to go through the weight restriction things, and I got pulled over because I didn't know that. They didn't tell me, oh, by the way, you have to have a CDL, and oh, by the way, you have to stop at weigh stations. They didn't mention that.
What happened?
The cop was very upset with me, but I didn't get a ticket. I was fortunate. But there was a lot of yelling. Anyway, you don't want that to happen if you can avoid it. So, here's some other van rental suggestions if you can, and this would be if you're moving in your own vehicle. If you can, it's way more convenient if you have everything in boxes instead of like bags and whatever. And if you can, this is a little expensive, but if you can afford to buy all boxes that match, it's so much easier to make piles of boxes when they're all the same size and shape. And moving them that way and labeling them clearly, that's great if you can do it. I've only been able to afford to do that once, but it was nice. You can sometimes get moving boxes from other people who have moved also, so it doesn't they don't have to be new. On the other side of that, the opposite version of that same advice, you can get free moving boxes from liquor stores and grocery stores. Lots of grocery stores, pretty much all liquor stores, have lots of empty cardboard boxes, good, sturdy, solid cardboard boxes that you can move in. When you get to your new place, and this is true whether you're moving in town or you're moving across the country, and it's true if you're moving a little bit of stuff or a lot of stuff, and it's true if you're moving into an old beat up place or a brand new place, ideally, if you possibly can, give yourself time to get in there and clean first before you move your stuff in, if it's possible. It's a luxury you may not have. If it's a one day rental from Jacksonville to Tallahassee, you don't have a lot of time when you get there. But if it's a three-day rental, and you can get here a day early and leave the stuff in the van and get in and move and clean, it's so much easier to clean a carpet when there's no furniture. It's so much easier to paint a wall when there's no furniture. It's so much easier to clean a refrigerator when it's got no food in it. So if you possibly can, give yourself some time to clean first before you get there. I've never moved into a place that didn't need to be cleaned when you got there, even if it's brand new. I did move into a place once that was brand new, but it still needed to be cleaned up because there was like little scraps of carpet from the people that installed it and sawdust from people doing this and that. It still needed cleaning even though it was brand new. So give yourself some time to clean before you move in if you can. And this one has been really helpful for me. When you move, pack like an overnight bag. Even if you're moving in town, pack like a little overnight bag of like a cup and a plate and a towel and a set of clothes and some soap and sponges, just like stuff you might need when you get there, toilet paper, roll of toilet paper. Sometimes they leave toilet paper for you. Sometimes they leave light bulbs for you. Often they don't. If it's a shower curtain place instead of a sliding glass door place, they often don't leave you a shower curtain. So think ahead about what you might need when you get there. But having all this stuff easy to grab when you first get there is really nice. Because if it is a one day and you pack the van up in the morning and then you drive all the way over here and then you unpack the van, you might just be fucking done and not want to unpack to find where are my clothes. Or you might just be like, okay, your friends helped you move and you want to go out and do something fun and you don't feel like trying to find all this stuff. So if it's right there in like a little ready to grab bag, a go kit, then it's way easier to handle that move. If you're going to have help moving, be nice to them. Try to be kind to the people that are helping you. Did you move just you?
or do you have friends?
It was me and my dad.
Okay. So with dad, maybe a little less important to do fun things or whatever, but still, like, try to be kind about it. Try to be good with the people that are there to help you. I helped somebody move one time, and when we got there, she took one box full of dishes out of the van and then went into the kitchen and started putting the dishes away. And then she decided that they weren't clean enough to put away, so she started washing them. I'm like, what the fuck? We're still moving shit. Like, don't try to take too much advantage of your friends that are helping you. And, you know, maybe buy them some pizza or whatever so that they'll continue to help. When you're actually moving, try to do it in a way you're not going to break your shit, right? Heavy stuff on the bottom, lighter stuff on top, all that sort of stuff, you know, I suppose. And then this one, it's obvious when you think about it, but I've seen it so many times. When you first start unloading the van or your car or whatever, bring stuff in. So I've seen this a lot, so I'll demonstrate. So I've got the big heavy object in my hand. Move in. And I just set the first thing down right here by the door. Set the second thing down right next to it, and then I set the third thing down right next to it. So it gets harder and harder to get where I'm going, because there's all this shit to get past, and also I have to go farther every time. So the first thing is put them like as far away from the door as possible. Move all the way to there, and then it gets easier each time instead of harder each time. That sounds really obvious, but people don't do it, so I'll mention it. Anything else you got about actually physically moving or packing that's helpful? Yeah.
Do the army rolls so you can save more space?
So roll stuff up instead of folding stuff up. Mm-hmm. I've never found that to help, but maybe I'm a bad roller. But yeah, a lot of people suggest that.
Do you roll it tight?
I guess not. But I pack, when I fold things real tight. So
no.
I don't know. Maybe different strategies work for different people. If you're going to rent a van, or any vehicle for that matter, not just related to moving, really carefully inspect it and make sure you mark any damage that's on it so you don't get blamed for it. And take pictures so that you've got proof that it was like that when you got it. I rented a van one time and inspected it, went all the way around, looked at everything, went inside the back, looked at everything, and when I got where I was going, all my shit was soaking wet. You know, because it always fucking rains when you're moving. But the van door was open when I was in the back of the van. And it rolled up, and it blocked the ceiling. And I couldn't see this giant gash across the ceiling. So I didn't know it was there. Put the door down. Like, inspect it carefully. Make sure that you're not going to get charged for that. It was really annoying. Any tips about getting your deposit back in an apartment? How many of you had to put down a security deposit? Yeah? You think you're going to get it back? Yeah, I always think if you get it back, it's good luck. So don't fight too much. Don't get too worked up about it if you don't get it back, because, yeah, often they're going to do stuff and you're not going to get it back, or it's going to be a real pain to get it back. Sometimes it's no problem, but that's a standard shitty apartment complex thing, is to confiscate people's deposits for dumb reason. Like, well, there's this little paint scuff here. That's not wear and tear. That's something you did. That's $350. Like, what? Well, we have to paint the whole wall. And then, of course, they don't actually paint the whole wall.
That's so funny. I saw my hand. I don't know what a security deposit is.
Oh, so sometimes when you first move in, you have to give them some money before they let you move in that's separate from rent. So let's say it's going to be $1,000 a month for rent. You have to give them $1,000 every month. But you also have to give them $1,000 up front first as a security deposit. And then you'll get that back at the end, maybe, as long as nothing got broken, no damage or whatever. But a lot of times they come up with ways to nickel and dime you out of that.
They talked about programmable thermostats already? I feel like I talked about that earlier in the semester when we talked about money, right? And resetting your hot water heater, talked about that too, yeah? The biggest expenses for most people's utility bill is heating and cooling first, hot water heater second, refrigerator third, but you can't do a whole lot about your refrigerator bill. But you can do a little bit. If it's mostly empty, it has to work harder. So if your refrigerator is mostly empty, just put a couple jugs of water in there. If your freezer is mostly empty, put some water in there so it freezes, because bulk helps maintain a constant temperature. If your fridge is constantly open and constantly full, then that's not going to help much. But if all you've got in the fridge is like two little things and it's mostly empty, then it works harder.
So you can save a little money if you just put some tubs full of water in there.
There you go. There's my big fancy last day. I wish that I had a wonderful, like, inspirational speech about education and your future, but, you know, go watch your favorite education movie.
Yeah.
I've never written one. So I look forward to seeing you guys Monday.
Remember, everything's due by midnight tonight. Take care.
One of the